Hello and welcome back to the Elite Takeover podcast, where today we will be talking about the 23rd of October edition of SmackDown, in which what was pretty good show, the final build to Hell in a Cell. As always, I am your host, Aiden, and I am joined by...
Raph.
And now before we get started, make sure to give us a subscribe, a like if you want to get the rest of our content. Of course, we will be having predictions tomorrow for Hell in a Cell, and we will be having the Hell in a Cell review coming out as soon as Hell in a Cell is done. But if you're listening on a podcast app as well, make sure to download, give us a 5-star review. It would all be amazing and helps us keep growing this podcast. But let's get started with the action on SmackDown tonight. We started things off with the Kevin Owens show, the KO show, the first one properly with him being on SmackDown. Starts off straight away with him making a joke about people finally being on the right brands.
Yes.
A week after the brand split bit happening. I so wish like someone from Raw had just come out during that.
Yes.
Just for the bant. but yeah, he's excited to be getting things going, and he brings out his guest for tonight, which is D-Bride, Daniel Bryan, brings him out to go and enjoy what's going on. Has a chat about Bryan. He's excited to go and face off with Bryan again,
mm-hmm.
after Bryan mentioned him in his list of people last week of that Bryan was saying were exciting prospects for SmackDown. It was kind of weird that Bryan was essentially acting like he was the general manager of SmackDown again.
Yes. Yes, he did. It was funny.
It was very odd.
I was wondering that. It was really funny because the way he was dressed and everything, just like very... like.
Yeah, it's back to 2018 again when him and Shane were in charge. 2016 even, I apologise. It was, yeah, slightly odd to have Bryan back in like the general manager role. And how Bryan thinks that the Intercontinental Championship should be defended every single week here on SmackDown. Yeah, Owens wanted to ask Bryan a serious question, though.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just about facing Bryan.
No.
Owens wants to team with Bryan. Owens wants to go after the one title that he's never held in WWE, which is the tag team titles. And he wants Bryan to be his partner, but Bryan, well, he goes, well, you have had a lot of people, you have betrayed a lot of people, so that's probably why you've never held the tag titles.
Yeah.
Owens is like, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah,
you got me on that one. You got me. Comes up with the team name for the group. He wants them to be Team Hell KO. To which Bryan laughs and says, are you tagging with Kane then? Which obviously, because Kane is the hell part of this
course.
Group, it makes perfect sense. What do you think about Owens and Bryan teaming up?
I think it would be fun. I think they would work well together.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. I think it'd be a good little team.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to last
long. Even if they're like,
long.
Exactly. Even if they're like, even if KO kind of like betrays Bryan or whatever happens. But like, I think it would be fun.
Yeah.
It's something that we've never seen before. So it's always nice to have something new.
Yeah. And especially since I definitely think Owens is going to turn on Bryan sooner rather than later. Especially since this is all kind of linked up with the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah, because Bryan has been like, upset with Sammy because of him not defending the title and everything.
Yeah, so. And we get some more with that later.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think with it all being linked up with Sammy and Sammy with Kevin being in the middle of this, it does kind of feel very much like Kevin will turn pretty sharpish on Bryan,
yeah.
Which I'm not complaining about. I'd love to see. I'd love to see Sammy and Owens again together. They're just great together. Obviously, amazing chemistry.
Yeah.
Work together so well. And it would give Sammy more screen time on SmackDown, which would be great because he needs more screen time. And obviously, like, Bryan versus Owens, that would be awesome as well.
Yeah.
I'm not going to complain about seeing Bryan versus Owens. But yeah, so they're doing all this promo, and then Ziggler and Rude make their way out saying that, no, they're the tag team that you should be talking about. The Street Profits come in, and they're the tag team you should be talking about. Nakamura and Cesaro come in, no, they're the tag team you should be talking about, is basically how that went.
Yeah.
The Prophets made a very weird joke about Ziggler and Rude looking like they're from 1994.
Yes.
To which Ziggler tried to be really funny and it just really bombed.
Yes. He just like
really
kneeled
weird.
On the floor and said something random and I was like, what?
Yeah, maybe we just didn't hear it probably, but it really bombed. I don't really get it. But yeah, all the teams go into a big brawl setting up because they kind of go, oh, let's go and have a match. So all the teams brawl, all the heels and the faces. Adam Pearce runs down. He had a mic for some reason. We never heard what he had to say. I assume he was just making the match. But he ran down with the mic and then we went to adverts. So I assume he just started the match. We come back and it is a 4 versus 3 handicap match because Daniel Bryan's still getting changed out of his suit.
It's really funny because we just were like, where's Brian?
Yeah.
Where is he?
And then he turns up like 20 seconds into the match. And even commentary's like, oh, he was changing out of his suit. Fabs don't make a big deal out of that one.
Yeah.
But yeah,
probably most people wouldn't have noticed.
Most people wouldn't have, because you just think he'd been knocked down to the ground or whatever. But yeah, getting changed out of his suit. But at least it's kind of nice not to have the spoiler in the interview segment. Because usually when there's going to be a match out of it, they do come out in their in-ring attire.
Yeah, they do.
And Owens did wear his tie for the entire match as well. I was surprised no one tried to choke him with
the
tie.
Yeah, I know, I was wondering that.
But yeah, so we get into the match. Owens starts off quite hot in the match, knocking everyone down, tugging into Dawkins and then Ford. Ford gets kind of taken over by the heels, and they kind of work him over quite a bit. The referee stops in the middle of the match to do up his shoelaces.
I didn't catch that. I wish I did.
He just literally just wasn't paying attention to what was going on, just bent over just doing up his shoelaces.
Yeah.
I guess safety first.
Yeah, no, of course.
Ford gets the hot tag to Brian. Brian starts doing his typical hot tag stuff that you'd expect. Goes for the flip in the corner where he flips over the top of the opponent and lands on his knee really badly.
Oh, God. He did like a roll up, but then he was trying to fall on his feet. But then for some reason, his knee gave up or something.
Well, no,
That's what we thought. Yeah. That's what we thought it happened.
He was very good at selling.
Yes.
He was very good at selling. It really looked like a real injury. Because of the way he fell and just how he was acting.
And because who was it that was attacking him? Was it
Cesaro?
He didn't go for him straight away. Like, he stayed back for a second.
Yeah, for a second. And Owens also kind of checked on him a little bit.
Yeah.
Cesaro then went straight after the knee, continued to work on the knee, did a really awesome, did the swing, but only holding the one leg.
Oh.
Well,
even if his
horrible.
Knee didn't hurt, then I'm sure that after that it would hurt.
Oh, yeah, no, that would not be nice. Like, your leg being stretched out like that through the swing. Blech. Brian catches a dropkick from Ziggler, flips Ziggler into the corner, but then Rude manages to stop the hot tag from happening.
Mm-hmm.
Brian manages to hit a missile dropkick on Rude to get the hot tag into Angelo Dawkins. Dawkins goes wild on everyone. Cesaro gets a quick roll up, puts his feet on the ropes, but the referee does see the fact that the feet are on the ropes.
Woohoo!
For once.
Woohoo!
Convenience!
I know.
Owens and Brian do dives to the outside. Brian dives onto his bad knee, which probably wasn't the best decision for him.
Yeah.
Owens doing a cannonball. Also, Dawkins tags to Ford. Ford does his ridiculous frog splash.
It's always so incredible. He goes so high.
Yeah, his frog splash is mental.
It's
mental, and to be honest, because a frog splash splash isn't a very impressive move, and especially since he's such a slim man,
exactly.
You wouldn't think he was hurt, but because he gets so high,
it's incredible, like the height that he gets. I know he's tall and everything, but still, like getting that height from the ropes won't even give him that much of an impulse or anything. They won't give him a push.
Yeah,
it's just incredible.
On a side note. Go and check out Ricochet's Twitter. He posted a video. I'll show you this afterwards. I meant to show you before. He posted a video of him doing some really impressive, him doing his workout, his flips workout. It's very impressive.
Oh, God.
It's very impressive. And post-match, Montez does his little rope shake. And we have Brian
so
joins
weird.
In with the rope shake as well. He doesn't really know how to do it.
The other two are looking at them
and
being
Otis. Owens and Dawkins kind of just looking and being like, all right. But now we move forwards to, finally, it is time. It is time for the court case. It is time for Law and Otis.
Orton.
Lauren Orton. Randy Orton has come to SmackDown. Lauren Otis. That's a good point, actually. Sorry, Owens. We had a member of the... We
had
members of Raw on this show. We had
The Miz. It wasn't on the show. It was on the court, so it doesn't
count.
It
was on the show. It's on the show. We had Miz. We had Morrison. We had Asuka. They were Raw superstars. Sorry, Owens. You were wrong. We're not away yet. We start things. It was silly. It was fun. Not as good as the La Dinner Debonair from this week. Oh, yeah. But it was a lot. It was still a lot of fun.
When I started hearing the introduction, oh God, I can't speak. So when they put the music for Law and Notice, God, I can't
say. Law and Notice, Law and Order.
Law and Notice. Like, I was like, I just hope they don't break into song and dance. Gladly they didn't. Yeah. So.
I haven't seen Law and Order, so probably some of the jokes fell flat on me. It's not really a British, it's not really much of a thing over here. It's much more an American thing. So not really, doesn't really work for me as well. But I know law cases.
Yeah.
I know what courtrooms are like because I am a convicted criminal. I'm not a convicted criminal.
No, it's just because I've been watching a lot of criminal series lately. It was actually really funny to watch it.
Fair. But yep, so we have JBL is the judge and we have Ron Simmons as the security, going back to APA days. We have the Miz and Morrison with their lawyer and Otis by himself, obviously, because he couldn't get a lawyer. He doesn't even know how to wear a suit. He doesn't have a proper suit. He just has a suit missing the arms. He doesn't have a tie. Oh, poor Otis. Poor Otis. The Miz goes off on a big tirade. Like, we go to opening statements, as you would expect in the court. Mm-hmm. The lawyer's ready to make the opening statements, and Miz is like, no. I know I've hired you to be my lawyer, but
I'm a
WWE wrestler. I can do the promos here.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm used to wrestlers' courts. I can do this. The Miz essentially just says that Otis has abused them, assaulted them physically and emotionally, all that kind of nonsense. And then they go to Otis and ask why, and JBL goes, give us your opening statement, Otis. Otis gets up and essentially just goes, I won the briefcase. It's my briefcase. I won the ladder match. I won the briefcase. That's all. Dun, dun. Dun, dun. With the music. And then we go away from this and we'll come back to that later in the night. Backstage, we see the Prophets and Owens and Bryan celebrating the fact that they won the match. And Daniel Bryan puts his fists up and he wants them to fist me, boys.
Fist me, boys. And they just have a very awkward pause and then they all just laugh and they're like, all right. Let's
go. They do the typical movie trailer thing where there's an awkward joke. Silence. Yeah.
It was funny.
Yeah. They all leave. They all like, yeah, great job tonight, guys. And they all go away. Oh, look at that peaking on the microphone. That's going to be very unpleasant for your ears. I apologize.
I can fix that.
Sami Zayn turns up and confronts Bryan over what he said earlier in the night, telling off Bryan for poking his nose in business that doesn't matter to him, saying that Sami Zayn is the IC champion. He decides when he's going to defend the title, and he's beaten Bryan before, so Bryan should keep it all to himself.
Exactly.
But yeah, this is going to be interesting to see where this goes. I wouldn't be surprised if we ended up with an IC title match on Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
We'll see. Like, it still feels like there's more matches to add to Hell in a Cell.
Yes.
And I wouldn't be surprised if an IC championship match was one of them. Or we end up with like a pre-show match with Owens and Bryan or something. Mm-hmm. Something to keep this going. Because we kind of feel like we're going somewhere with this.
Yeah.
We'll see. Then we go forwards. We have a high package for Bianca. The same one as before, really. And like I said to Raph, that they should just use the music that was in that hype package and just use the video for that hype package as her video. It's a lot better than her, I'm on my own. I don't really like that music. And she doesn't do the whip anymore. You don't need the...
Yeah.
You don't need it. She doesn't do it anymore. So what's the point? But her attire was great. SmackDown logos everywhere on her.
So good. And then the blue lipstick and everything.
Yeah.
Just looks so good.
Sure, great. A bit of a shame he's against Zelina, just because like Bianca and Zelina have had quite a lot of matches in the past.
Yeah.
But it was a good match. Nothing particularly special.
Yeah.
Just to put Bianca over, but I also feel like it could have been more... I know they want to also push Zelina and give Zelina some good ring time, but it kind of felt like it kind of made Bianca not feel as EST... as she necessarily should be.
Yeah.
Was the only thing I would say.
Like, I understand why they use Zelina because also she's a very small person, so it's really easy for like.
Yeah, the deadlift spot was really cool. She picked her up right from the floor and put her right on her head. It's a lot easier for Bianca to be able to do big moves with Zelina.
Yeah.
But I think it should have just been a jobber match. They should have had
exactly.
just some NXT person, mm-hmm. and just let Bianca just hit some really impressive offense.
Yeah.
And that should have been it.
And I miss a hair whip.
Yeah. But she has the KOD and she wins.
Yeah.
Zelina Vega just shouts, ow!
In the corner.
Which I enjoyed.
Ow!
She was very upset.
Yeah, it was.
She was very upset. Go to have a break, come back with Shorty G in the ring. Shorty G has decided to face Lars Sullivan tonight because he is a cretin for punishment, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
He does a promo about why he's done this, said he's fed up, that he can't get drafted, even though he was drafted to SmackDown. But hey ho, I know he wasn't drafted on the show, but he was drafted afterwards at some point. Otherwise, he would, because he wasn't a free agent. The free agent thing never really came about, but whatever. He feels disrespected, then he's going to turn it around, and Lars Sullivan comes out and kills him, as you would expect Lars Sullivan to do.
Mm-hmm.
Shorty G. He looked really good. He didn't look good in the match, obviously, but he was very good at selling.
Yeah, he was really good at selling.
The way Lars was throwing him around and stuff, it made Lars look great.
Just tossing him everywhere and everything, and yeah. Shorty G just looked like really good at that.
Yeah, Shorty G made Lars look really good, which is the whole point of it.
Yeah, exactly.
I have no interest in Lars, but he did make Lars look good.
Yeah.
Freak accident, 1, 2, 3. Shorty gets in the microphone, lots of... and then he says he quits. At which point we got very excited with the idea of Shorty G going to NXT. And becoming Chad Gable. And hypothesizing whether there was going to be some kind of stable with him and Austin Theory.
Yeah.
Because they both quit within 2 days of each other.
Yeah.
But yeah, but as we'll get to, we'll do it now because it's literally going to be in about 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
We go backstage a little bit later and Adam Pearce asks G how he's doing and wants to check. Have you actually quit, Shorty G? Have you actually quit? But then he goes, no, I'm just quitting being Shorty G. I won't be a smiley loser anymore. There's one man that can achieve anything he wants. And he has a list of achievements that is so long, being in the Olympics, all these things that he has done. And you know who that man is? His name is Gable. Chad Gable. And there was also a long penis joke in here somewhere. Chad Gable's coming back, which would be nice.
We were so excited about it.
Yeah.
As soon as he said he's going to quit being Shorty G, we were all like, yes.
Yeah.
Finally.
Well, we'll wait and see.
Yeah.
We'll wait and see. Obviously, he's not going to go back to being Shorty G, but we'll see if this actually means any kind of push for him.
Oh, yeah.
Or whether he's just going to end up.
I'm just happy he's not called again. Shorty G anymore.
Yeah.
Because I never liked that name.
It's horrendous. It's horrendous. And also change, at least hopefully this means he can change his gear as well.
Yeah.
Not be wearing, I know he's not wearing the basketball shorts anymore,
mm-hmm.
but still his gear's still horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully this will be a nice change for Gable. Honestly, just put him in a tag team.
Yeah.
Give him a partner. The tag division needs tag teams. Like, they were talking about how great the tag team division is in that first match, and it's like, you do realize in this match, this 8-man tag, this is all of your
this
tag teams.
This is your tag team.
Including a team division. Which isn't even a team yet. So,
yeah.
Great. So, yeah, put Gable in the team. Put him with, Cruz or someone. Mm-hmm. Just do something interesting. Give him some comedy. He is good to the comedy stuff.
Yeah.
Make him, the serious person to someone who's a bit more goofy. Be fun.
Yeah.
Or put him with someone massive. Get rid of the guy from AJ Styles and Raw. Give him to Chad Gable. That's what you should do. Oh, yeah, I skipped past Rollins.
Yes.
So earlier in the night, well, just before this promo, we also got a Seth Rollins promo hyping up the match he's having against Murphy tonight. Rollins talks about how he's guided Murphy and that he feels so betrayed by Murphy. And the promo was essentially all about the idea of fun and Rollins saying it's not fun what Murphy did before, but it's going to be fun what I do to him tonight. He wants everyone to learn what their place is in society. That is what everyone needs to be the greater good. Everyone needs to learn their place. He is Messiah. You is disciple. He is leader. You is follower behind her. And he will put Murphy in his place. Basically, is what he said. Messiah, disciple.
Boop.
Boop. We'll get to that later. Boop. We come back to the ring. We have a Bayley promo. She's there with her chair. She has a new t-shirt. Ding dong, hello. Ding dong, hello.
Ding dong, hello.
Ding dong, hello.
Sorry.
Sorry, I just find that silly. It's funny. It's funny. She talks about how she's been having interviews all day today and how all those interviews have been asking her about Sasha, and she just wants to get away from her. She doesn't want anything to do with Sasha Banks anymore, and that's why she attacked her. She attacked her to get rid of her. Also, she had a new tattoo, maybe. I'd never seen it before.
Yeah, on the wrist, on the inside of the wrist.
It was a big old tattoo.
I liked it. It looked really nice. It looked very detailed.
Yeah, it looked like a nice tattoo. I don't really know what it was of, but it looked nice.
I think it was like the moon or something.
Yeah, it was nice though. Laughs off the line from last week about Banks being bigger than the title and says Sasha's ego wouldn't fit into the Hell in the Cell. Ding dong, hello.
Sasha comes out.
Ding dong, hello. And then Sasha Banks comes out with the contract. Bayley tries to hit her with a chair. Sasha takes the belt instead. Bayley's like, okay, I'll sign the contract. Just give me the belt back. And then they end up with a little tug of war over the belt. Sasha pulls Bayley towards her, knees her in the face, goes and grabs the chair and threatens to, well, I thought she was going to threaten to, it would have been more impressive than what she did, threatens to kind of pulmonize Bayley with the chair over her neck, but then kind of just transitions it into a cross face on the chair standing up, and Bayley signs the contract, and Sasha kind of gets in Bayley's face saying she's going to take away her title afterwards. So I know you liked this more than I did.
Yeah.
You thought this was quite impressive, didn't you?
I didn't find the last bit when she was like just with the chair mainly open. But before, when Bayley was lying on the ground and with the chair around her neck, I don't know if you noticed that Sasha had her foot on top of the chair. So like I found that was like, I would sign a freaking contract if I had a chair around my neck.
Fair.
And like after I think Sasha should have managed to keep the title with her, like, instead of having the little tug war.
Yeah.
But I really liked it. It was fun. Like, obviously, it might not be crazy impressive and it might not have hurt her that much. It wouldn't have hurt her that much. But
I just don't, for me personally, I don't think this was intense enough. Because, Sasha needs Bayley to sign this contract. If we're going by, obviously, this is all kind of nonsense anyway, because these matches happen without contracts all the times.
Yeah.
But in this one situation, she needs her to sign the contract for the match to happen. And Sasha needs this. She needs this match. She thinks this is the only chance she has of getting Bayley.
Yeah, she didn't look as desperate.
Her. She didn't seem intense.
Yes, she didn't seem as desperate. She seemed more like not upset, would that be?
I just think she felt like Sasha. She just acted like Sasha to me. I don't think there was anything particularly intense about her.
Mm-hmm.
And Bayley obviously wants to get away from this, so you think it would probably take, I know Bayley is a chicken S-word heel, but you think it might take a little bit more than just a cross face. I know.
I don't think it would, because she's been always like running away from all of the problems.
You know what to go into Hell in a Cell is like.
Yes, true.
And Bayley has never been in Hell in a Cell. She would be terrified of going in there with Sasha Banks.
True.
And she would do anything to not lose her title.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't. For me, it should have been Sasha completely jumping Bayley and doing a lot more damage to Bayley to kind of set this up. I also know you want to kind of keep things. You want to keep things for the match and all that kind of stuff. But for me, it's cooled it a little bit. It's still going to be a great match, hopefully, and I'm looking forward to it. But it has cooled it a tiny bit for me. But as long as you got out of it, and I'm sure
really
other people did, then sure, I might just be the only one there.
Really mind those kind of like...
Yeah, I know I have a different opinion on a later match as well, which I was surprised about, but hey-ho.
Do you?
Yeah, the Rollins and Murphy match.
Okay.
Yeah, I was looking on Twitter. People had very different opinions to me.
Okay.
So we go back to Thor and Otis. We have John Morrison on the stand. John Morrison is a very emotional man right now. He has been emotionally abused by Otis. The Miz hands him a hanky and Otis. And Morrison is very... He's very upset.
He's properly blowing up his nose. Yeah. It's really funny.
We go to the next person. We go to Rey Mysterio taking the stand next. The man who was in the Money in the Bank ladder match with Otis. And he says that Otis deserves it. Otis deserves the briefcase because he won the match.
Yeah, he won the match. I was there when he did it. He won the match. So the briefcase is his. Like, there's no doubt.
And then we go to Asuka. you know.
I love Asuka.
Being Asuka. Asuka's great.
I love her
great.
So much.
Asuka is super.
Oh, I love her so much.
she does her usual stuff, talking in Japanese for a while and being very exuberant. JBL,
it was so funny.
JBL asks someone off camera if they got that, and then Teddy Long is there and he got every word, player.
I've got every word, player. I don't know why I did that.
Yes, that was very sinister.
Thanks.
And next we have Tucky on the stand. Let's be real. They do understand how courts work, because the prosecution is the one who usually decides the witnesses.
Yeah.
So the prosecution brought some very bad people to this trial.
Yeah, they did.
Miz didn't think this through in the slightest.
Well, he fired his lawyer, so...
He did, but most of the stuff is kind of done before the court. This is a very short court case. But anyway... Tucky is brought to the stand, says that Otis is a sensitive soul and The Miz deserves everything he's got, because The Miz took away Otis's girlfriend from him and sent her to Monday Night Raw.
Yes.
Oh, how sad. And now she's busy with Dana Brooke and wasn't here today to cheer on Otis, even though Tucky was, even though The Miz and Morrison were, even though Asuka was, even though Rey Mysterio was, all of these Raw superstars. Yes. And Mandy Rose, she don't give a damn about Otis. She's too busy with... El Gran Gordo. She's too busy with El Gran Gordo on Raw. Oh, my goodness. The Miz wants to treat Tucker as a hostile witness, and JBL says, yes, it's time for things to get hostile in here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tucky gets upset and wants to attack The Miz, but Simmons tells everyone to shut up. And JBL goes, right, we'll be back in a minute and I'll give you the result. And
Tucky, no. Tucky.
Are you being Scottish?
Scottish. I didn't mean to. I was just like, the tuck it. No, no, don't tuck it. Do it.
Tuck it.
Don't do it.
And then Teddy Long goes, I got a pee, player. He goes to the toilet. Yeah, it's nice to say this is what Teddy Long has come back for. I hope he got some nice money for doing this.
Oh, yeah.
We come back from the break, and JBL has got his final statement here. He says the truth is missing. The truth is missing from the statement. Where is our truth? We need our truth here. He is the one to solve this case. He is the prime detective. He found out who was the... I've ruined my own joke now by forgetting what it's called. Dang it. The anonymous Raw General Manager, R-Truth, found out it was Hornswoggle, who was the anonymous Raw General Manager years ago. R-Truth is a detective. He wears his Sherlock Holmes hat. Essentially, he just goes... Yeah, you know all this stuff he said about Otis physically abusing you? You know, that's kind of like the job for a WWE superstar. That's what they're paid to do. And if I was in trouble for all this stuff, I would have been fired a long time ago. And yes, you would have, JBL, because you literally assaulted people in the ring without them wanting you to. And he's going to give it to Otis. He's going to be like, yes, Otis, you win. You get to keep all your money in the bank briefcase.
And you have a year to cash in, so it's still...
Well, and talks about the negligence, the money in the bank, terms of you still have a year. We still have until the end of the year. And The Miz interrupts and goes, wait a second, I have some more evidence. I have some important evidence for you. Pulls out a briefcase from under the desk. It gets given to JBL. He opens the briefcase. You hear the
ka-ching.
I wanted it to glow gold. I wanted there to be a gold light in there. That's all that was missing for me. JBL pulls some very silly faces in terms of trying to be really excited about this money. JBL gives it to Miz. The Miz wins the lawsuit, and at Hell in a Cell, it will be Otis versus The Miz for the money in the bank briefcase. Ron Simmons comes forward. Damn! And the scales of justice, we get one final shot as they fall to one side, and the scales of justice, it has been broken. What a beautiful, beautiful, chilling image to leave us on. But yes, Hell in a Cell, Miz and Otis. We won't talk about it now. We'll talk about it tomorrow on the predictions. Make sure to come back tomorrow if you want to hear our predictions for Hell in a Cell. But we get a big promo package for Rollins and Mysterio. Rollins and Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
May as well be Rollins and Mysterio, to be honest. It's a really good promo package. I felt like it should have been at Hell in a Cell. It feels like a shame it wasn't Hell in the Cell. I would like this to be in a Hell in the Cell. And I thought this match was going to end in DQ or nonsense, so that this would be a Hell in the Cell, but it didn't. This ends in a very clean, decisive victory for Seth Rollins. Aaliyah was watching from backstage. Pretty simple stuff in this match. Essentially, the way it went was Seth Rollins wanting to prove to Murphy where he stands, wanting to tell him that I am the Messiah. You are the disciple. And then he kept booping him on the nose.
It wasn't the nose, it was the forehead.
I like to say it was the nose.
But still, it was still very fun. Messiah, disciple, boop.
Messiah, disciple, boop. Ray and Dominic aren't particularly happy backstage. They're like, Aaliyah, yo, leave them alone.
Why are you watching this match?
Don't watch these topless men. It's not okay. Why are you even here? I'm supporting
Murphy.
But you're not contracted to be a WWE superstar. You shouldn't be here. Go home. Go home. It's not safe for you here. There is viruses. Yeah. So back to the match itself. Essentially, the idea of the match pretty much was that Rollins was pretty much in control most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But then Murphy would kind of catch him by surprise occasionally.
Yeah, because Rollins would be like, teasing Murphy.
Yeah, he kept pushing Murphy.
And so Murphy would just like lose control and go back.
Yeah, well, he managed to just catch it out of nowhere, really. One point Murphy gets on top, he does a big dive, which completely misses Rollins. He goes literally over his shoulder. But I think this was the point where Murphy's shoulder was given some issues. That wasn't it. Maybe I missed when it was probably given issues, but that became the story of the match. He does a top rope meteora, and then Murphy's on the outside and he has to push his shoulder back into place. Rollins takes advantage, dives on him on the outside, does a springboard knee to the face, and Rollins then just keeps going after the arm of Murphy. Murphy keeps trying to do some big moves, has Rollins up in the corner on the top rope. He wants to take him up for the Murphy's Law, take him to the center of the ring and hit it. But he can't get him on his shoulders, so he just pushes Rollins down, hits the little Nando's kick, and then
Nando's.
It's what Will Ospreay calls that move. It's the cheeky Nando's kick. I don't know what Murphy calls it, so I'm just going to call it the Nando's kick. Yeah. But whenever Murphy tries to get him in the middle of Murphy's Law, his shoulder just gives up. He can't hold. He can't hold Rollins. And Rollins just keeps going for him. The end sequence was really nice, though. Rollins going for trying to get the curb stomp. Murphy going into a reverse, into a roll up. Rollins kicks out, gets in the corner, tries to go for another curb stomp, gets out of the way again. Murphy gets him up for Murphy's Law finally, but Rollins managed to get out of the way, gets him down, curb stomp. Pretty simple, 1-2-3, very decisive win for Rollins. But, of course, the feud cannot be over. The feud will never be over. Rollins is getting the kendo stick, his favourite weapon, his weapon of choice, to go and beat up Murphy in the middle of the ring. Aaliyah backstage is talking to Dominic and Ray, and it's like, no, we need to help him. We need to help Murphy.
You guys go and help him. No, we're not helping him. Fine, then I'll go.
Yeah, she goes out to go and save him with all of her wrestling experience that she has. Rollins essentially laughs in her face.
She did a good roll into the ring. Like, it was nice.
I didn't notice, to be honest. Rollins essentially laughs in her face when she comes out there. He starts pitting Murphy with the kendo stick. Well, I think he hits him like once.
Yeah.
Aaliyah gets in the ring, gets on top of Rollins. She takes down Rollins, hits him with some big punches, hits a suicide dive, and then hits a choosing star press. And Aaliyah is your new Universal Champion. That's how the show ended. No. But seriously, Aaliyah gets on top of Murphy to save him from the kendo sticks. Dom comes out and scares away Rollins, saving Murphy. But Rollins is just circled around the ring slightly and then gets back in the ring and attacks Dominic. And then Ray comes out and saves Dominic. And then Rollins runs away from Ray. And then they go, and then Rollins just kind of just leaves. He's had enough of this. He doesn't want to deal with Ray. Ray Mysterio is too scary for Seth Rollins.
He has an eye patch.
He still has an eye patch. He's still missing an eye. Oh, my goodness. The Mysterio family has a little bit of a bicker between them. Ray and Dominic start having an argument between the two of them. Just a family argument, nothing too violent. And then they turn around and Aaliyah is holding Murphy.
Yeah.
And Murphy is staring at the Mysterios. And that's how it ended. That's how it ended. This will never end. This is going to be going on forever. So I didn't think this match... I I thought that this match, I think I had too much hype build for the idea of this match, because the idea of like Rollins versus Murphy is just sounds awesome.
Yeah.
And like both of them going at like full speed, and I think it'd be really good, a really good match. And I thought this was a bit lackluster, hopefully because they're building to more stuff. But I saw a lot of people online who really enjoyed this match and thought it was really good. So I guess I was in the minority there, but it didn't work for me entirely.
I liked it. I really liked it.
I just wanted, I expected more.
I guess. I would like more, obviously.
Yeah.
And I hope that they'll do more in the future.
Yeah.
Which I hope they will.
Well, they will do. This feud's never going to end.
Exactly.
And Rollins is going to win every single time, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Unless so it's to like, Dominic. Dominic's the only person who's allowed to get a victory.
Yes, exactly. So I did enjoy it. It was a fun match. Like, could have been a bit slow and everything, but I did enjoy it.
Yeah, I think the storyline stuff and it was good and all that kind of stuff. I think I just had too much of an expectation for Rollins versus Murphy.
Yeah.
But I'm sure we'll get it again in the future.
Yeah, of course.
Now it's time for our main event of the night. Roman Reigns comes down to the ring. Before he can say anything, he gets interrupted. There is an Uso in his office. There is an Uso in his office. It has been invaded.
There is an Uso in my office.
Yep, he's poking at the tribal cheese that's on the table, having a nibble on some of the tribal cheese.
On the fruit and on the mineral water.
Yep, the H2O. essentially calling out Roman for all of the nonsense that he's done, saying that he's got his head so far up his arse that he's lost connection with everything. He's changed and blah de blah de blah. But then he pulls down the bandana and takes off the hat. It's Jimmy Uso, it's not Jay. Ooh. He tells Roman that Jay is right behind him. Probably don't tell him that, just let Jay attack him, to be honest.
Yeah.
Jay gets the jump on Roman. Roman tries to go over the kitten with a spear. Roman hits into the corner. Jay goes and gets the chair, tries to hit him with the chair, but Roman kicks Jay. So Jay's on the floor. Roman goes for the chair instead, tries to hit Jay with the chair, but Jay gets a super kick on Roman.
Yeah.
Jay goes up to the top, Uso splash on Roman, and Jay celebrating goes up to the top of the ramp with his brother Jimmy, and they have a little celebration on top of the ramp, feeling very good going into Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
But then Roman gets back to his feet, puts his hand out again. Heyman gives him the title, but he's like, no, I don't want the title, I want the mic. My goodness, Heyman, you are useless.
Duh,
Heyman.
You should be used to this by
Heyman,
then.
Heyman, come on, when I put my hand out like this, I want the microphone. Heyman gives him the mic. He didn't actually say any of that stuff. I'm just putting stuff in his brain. Heyman gives him the mic, and Roman tells them that they don't understand. They don't understand how big this match is for them. Mm-hmm. If Roman Reigns loses, he loses his title. So what? He's prepared for that.
He can deal with it.
But if they lose, and they will have to fall in line. They will have to acknowledge him as the tribal chief. They will have to do whatever he wants. They will have to be by his side, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Or he will remove them from the lineage. He will remove them from the family. The entire rest of the tribal chief's family and group, they will completely turn their back.
Your brother, your families.
Yeah, their entire families, Jimmy and Jay, they will be completely ostracized from the family. And the Jay is very upset with this. He's not happy at all, as you'd expect. And that was Jimmy. The cell comes down. Roman's standing in the middle and Jay climbs up halfway off the cell and stares down him.
Before that, when the cell is coming down, Jay's looking at it and he just goes like, sheesh.
Yeah.
He just swears at it. It's
the realisation of what's going on is a bit too much for him at the time. This is because sure, he's been in Hell in a Cell before, but it's a very different circumstance.
It's a very different match. It's high stakes.
It's an I Quit match as well. Yeah. It's going to be brutal. And I hope, like, with the idea that the Jay climbed up halfway up the cell.
Yeah.
Maybe that means we're going to go up top for this match.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Maybe. That'd be nice. I'd like that. I think it'd be a good way to differentiate it from, like, Randy and Drew and Sasha and Bayley. Because honestly, I feel Randy and Drew is going to be the one that kind of falls to the wayside on the pay-per-view.
And because since I was younger, these were kind of like my favourite matches. I always expect... What?
You kind of completely detoured there.
Sorry.
And ignored what I was saying, but okay.
It's just because of like how usually you was like to be Hell in a Cell matches used to be my favourite matches. I kind of expect them to go all the way up to the top.
Yeah.
It's like why I always found so impressive. But yeah, sorry, keep going.
It's fine. But yeah, it's going to be a very interesting match. It's good to see how it goes. But yeah, but we'll tell you what we think about it tomorrow when we're here for our predictions. And that is all for today's episode of SmackDown. Make sure to be here for the rest of the weekend where we'll have our predictions tomorrow, and we will have the Hell in a Cell results and review as soon as Hell in a Cell is finished. Thank you so much for watching, and we will see you
next time.